Welcome back, dear friends. We're looking at the thesis statement of Dom Zeller. Brings us to the use of brief, spontaneous prayers into practice of the presence of God, which is what this book is all about. We find God in our vocation in the present moment, which is what I said in the closing of the last episode. Unless the works, this is Dom Zeller, unless the work attempts to oppose faith or morals, it may be assumed to be a work that is capable of promoting sanctity. It conduces to your perfection. It does not contradict it. Through it, and not in spite of it, you achieve your purpose of serving God perfectly. It is always, that's another one of those words that scholars would use, always, the present moment, the present duty that counts.
And that, what a consolation, right? To know that what you are doing right now is the only thing that is significant. I mean, barring that it is a moral undertaking, right? But I mean, we're going to assume that people who will be listening to this audience are engaged in moral undertakings. But how beautiful and consoling it is to know that God wants you where you are right at that moment. And at that moment, you can sanctify your own life and the life of your children through an awareness of his presence.
That's right. That's right. Presence of God consists of a prayer attitude. And I mean, Sarah was just talking about, wouldn't that be wonderful for our children to have on their lips Jesus and Mary at such a young age? It is a gradual process which many use outside cues to recollect. So, and that was that's what that was part of the that Catholic Reformation we tend to like to go back to, right? The countrysides were replete with shrines, little shrines, little niches, statuary, whatever. What was the they weren't amulets, my friends. They were reminders to lift the mind to God. And for the people, their piety and their spirituality, the absence of them would, it wouldn't have,
Forgiven.
been into their minds. It wouldn't have been into minds. It's that same sort of attitude that we're trying to cultivate in this post-Christian era that we live in. And so lots of people use external clues to bring their minds back to the present, their minds, their hearts, really, the heart back to the presence of God. So I'm going to just give you a few, but there's many of them there. So noontime with the Angelus, right? The bells would toll. And if you're fortunate enough to be at a place, maybe your church bells tolls at noon. Momentary stop to raise the mind to Our Lady and to our Lord. That's an outside, that's what I'm talking about, outside cues. I have a number of my friends, wonderful souls, and one of them was given the inspiration that every time they see an 11, they say a Hail Mary. Just this little bit of a stop, a little up. And we turn our minds and then we go back to the task at hand. I have been blessed to know many men who keep a rosary in their pockets. And I'm altogether sure that they use that rosary just as it's intended with its prayers. But I think a goodly number of them might also have recourse to when in the course of their day. And they don't want to lose their temper or say something out of ordinary. They have this physical thing that they can start to grab. And maybe, if they're like, oh man, the Bishop of Geneva, who did all that we did,
St.
but
Francis de
Saint
Sales. St. Francis de Sales.
Francis
Francis
de
de Sales.
Sales, yes, he too would have to work on controlling what he would say. And there would be the scratch marks underneath his desk as he would hold on, right? as he's listening to things. Maybe these good men also needed to feel the crucifix in their pocket so that they hold their tongues, right? But all of that is an outside cue to recollect the heart back to this moment of encounter with Christ. Spontaneous. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that it goes to the fact, again, that there is an absolute recognition by the church that the human person is body and spirit, mm-hmm. and that both of those things must be nurtured, and both of those must be given the assistance that they need. You know, our Lord did not need to have a body to save us, but he did. And our Lord most assuredly did not have to pick up mud and spit into it and put it on the eyes of the blind man to cure his sight, but he did. And when we make recourse, you know, and our work is akin to that, right? Whatever we're doing is to be a work that is given over to the Lord. And to hear a bell is a call to prayer. To feel that rosary in your pocket is a reminder of grace. And what is really beautiful within the Catholic Church is that we believe that these material things can not only serve as a physical reminder, but because they can be blessed by the church and become a sacramental, they can actually be tools of grace, right? That they can actually bring grace into a situation that had not been there before. So now we should be more cognizant of making use in our homes of holy water and holy blessed salt and blessed oil in our cooking, or, you know, having, like you said, it's beautiful to have a rosary or a medal. It's even more beautiful to have a rosary or a medal that's blessed.
Sure. That's right. And let's see. The setting aside of set moments of prayer provide the opportunity of putting those moments under a prayer umbrella. So I have a tech umbrella, Umbrellino Prayer for Technology, that I read before all of my shows. And so I just want to put the whole, right, this whole endeavor, anything I'd really do, I want to put it under the sovereign kingship and through the precious blood. But all of what we do should be under this prayer umbrella. And so that the soul then develops the attraction to God, which this particular resolution will lend to a spontaneous prayer. It's set in motion. So we start to have these moments of prayer, and we train our minds in prayer. So we have a morning prayer. We're going to have prayers at lunch. We're going to have prayers when we go to bed. And before we know it, we start to think about prayers all the time. And they're not necessarily long prayers. It's like Sarah said, they're just very short. You know, Lord, cover this interview, cover this conversation.
Yeah, and having recourse to, you know, because prayer is nothing other than relationship. You know, and what is truly beautiful about that is that we don't serve a distant God. We serve a God who introduced himself to us through his son as Abba, Daddy. Right? I mean, he longs to be in relationship with his children. You know, I mean, we've just come out of the Easter vigil, where we recognize that our baptism, you know, that we're born not only of flesh and blood, but of the spirit, and that God, he loves us. And all that he wants is for us to engage in a relationship with him. And, you know, you think about the person in your life that you love the most, you know, please God, let it be your husband. You know, he walks into the room and all that you want to do is hold his hand. Or, you know, your child comes into the room and all that they want to do is kiss your cheek or give you a hug or give you a flower. And all of those little visuals, those little physicalities are really reminders and ought to serve for us as reminders of the type of relationship that God is seeking with us. And so work should, like, prayer should never be a chore. It should never be like an obligation in the sense that it's something that you must do. It should be a joy to enter into, you know, we should enter into his gates with praise, right? That is, so when you wake up in the morning, you know, it should be a joy to greet our Father. When you go to bed at night, you know, the last thing that you should want to do is, you know, kiss the cheek of your Father. Those should be things that we long for, not that we feel obligated to do. And the more childlike love that we bring to these things, to this moment, to this lived presence of God in our life, the more joyful that we can be. You know, I mean, what child isn't happy? I think back to my own children, you know, when they were really little, and it was time for him to come home. It's time for Dad to come home from work, and everybody is just getting excited, right? There's a palpable feeling of potential joy in the air that Daddy is about to come home, and they would race out the door, and they'd be looking on the street corner, watching for him to see who could be the first to watch him come in. And you know, that's how we should be with our Heavenly Father, to be on the edge of our seats, knowing that, oh, it's almost time for my morning offering, or it's almost time for me to say goodnight. I mean, there should always be this anxiousness, this joy that we bring, not obligation.
That's correct. All right, my friends, we're going to pick up in the next episode, you know, how do we do this thing for in the specific context of housewives. Till then, my friends, Fide Sebastiano.